QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz in the PL 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
Hey, Tom, good evening from Down Sun City, W68OVO.
Good evening, Art. How you doing? Well, what do you have for us this evening?
Yeah, not sure how well we're getting through there. I heard some crackling coming back. I want to thank you so much for doing the Tech Tuesday thing. This is absolutely fantastic. They request, I would like you to look at doing it for the lower level individuals. Get our young techs, get our young people up and going into the organization, into the ham operations, and teaching them. Even some of the stuff that you've gone through in some weeks, I'm going to go have dinner. I'm sorry about that. But we need to work on that. So let's get together and let's put together some plans so that we can get the young people, the young amateurs, and the would-bes that are listening out there into the tech and into what's going on. Appreciate that, Tom. Thank you so much for what you do tonight. W6AWO.
Oh, good deal there, Art. Yeah, we usually try to focus a lot of our articles out of QST, and that's a great magazine. A lot of issues, you get an issue every month, or you can go online and look at them if you remember. That's pretty cool. So a lot of good stuff in there. All right, any other announcements? Please come back to KF6Q. All right, hearing done. One other announcement I have is if you're a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, and hopefully you all are out there, the annual Christmas party, dinner party, is happening here in a few days on December 1st. That's December 1st, this Saturday coming up. And that will be at Senior Center up here in Big Bear Lake. It's about halfway between Division and Stanfield Cutoff on the south side. Anyway, that's coming up. That'll be from 4:30 to 8:30 in the general area. That, hope we can all see you there. All right, let's see. Topic for the evening will be the Elecraft KX3 HF and 6-meter QRP transceiver. Pretty cool piece of equipment. Very, very small. I mean, this thing fits just about in your hand. Incredible radio by Elecraft, and this is from QST magazine. Of course, we'll discuss the entire article here starting on page 39. So we'll get to that in just a minute, but first our roll call here. And top of the list is WB6CLZ Mike.
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is WB6CLZ. We're very excited to be here tonight. Back to you.
I know, because you have one of these toys, and they're a fantastic radio. I think you did a demo at one of our club meetings, too. That was pretty cool. Thanks, Mike. Next, I have WB6CIN Cindy. Is she nearby?
Good evening, Tom and everyone on the net. This is WB6CIN.
Well, good evening, Cindy. Glad to have you out there. Glad to see both of you at our meeting last Saturday. Great meeting. Next, I have KA6CIA George in Lucerne Valley. Okay, nothing heard there from George. Next, I have KE6RJ and KE6QI, Harry and Nancy from Sugarloaf.
Hi, good evening, Tom and the Net. KE6RJ and KE6QI.
Hey, I heard Nancy in the background. You have a good microphone there, Harry. Thanks for being with us. Good seeing you at the CERT training last night. And Art, by the way, good topic last night. Thanks for doing that. Anyway, moving on down the line here, let's see, I have KJ6HCS Mike. And nothing heard there. How about WA6IATC, Rod?
Yeah, we're here. WA6ITC at Lake Williams.
And good evening, Rod. Glad to have you out there. Good seeing you today. KJ6FIL Mike.
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
Well, good evening, Mike. Thanks for joining us from Redlands. Hopefully, we don't get washed out too much down here. All right. Let's see. Next, I have KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary in Sugar Loaf.
KJ6KDL here.
KJ6KDK.
Well, good evening there, Jim and Rosemary. Thanks for joining us this evening. And thanks for all the audio video work you do for us for the club at the meetings. Appreciate that. Kudos to you for that. All right, moving on down here. Let's see, don't know if he's out there. Let's try WB6PBZ Ray.
WB6PBZ from Rancho Cucamonga.
Well, good evening, Ray. Glad to have you out there, and thanks for joining us this evening. Let's see, moving on down here. I know Frank is probably off the hill. How about K9AOG Steven? Okay, nothing heard there from Steven in Long Beach. How about K6GVL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. This is Ron, K6GVL, Green Valley Lake.
Well, good evening, Ron. Thanks again for joining us from Green Valley. Signal is great into the repeater. Next, I have AD6PL, Harold.
Good evening, AD6PL.
Good evening, Harold from Riverside. Good signal in there. Thanks for joining us. I don't know if he's out there. He's been a very busy guy lately. How about K6LCS Quint from Harupa Valley? And I've heard there from Quint. How about KJ6PYB Dave?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. KJ6PYB.
Well, good evening, Dave. Thanks for joining us from Sugarloaf. And congratulations on getting your extra. Good deal. And I'm sure you'll have your legal upgrade here through the mail here online or whatever here pretty quick. Good job there, Dave. Appreciate that. Next, I have W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Kim. Let's see if they're out there this evening.
Good evening, Tom and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM and check in W6JLM.
Ken, Judith, glad to have you out there from Sugarloaf. Appreciate you being with us this evening. Good seeing you at the meeting, too, Saturday. And good luck with Judith there and her surgery coming up. And I know she'll come out of that just fine. All right. Let's see here. Next, I have K6YNW. Chris. Okay, nothing heard out there from Chris. How about W6POO Chip?
Good evening, Tom Nanette. W6POO from Palm Springs here. Thank you.
Well, good evening, Chip. Got to be using that new radio. Much better signal. Great signal, as a matter of fact. Glad to have you with us, Chip. How about KD6LEN Bill from Boulder Bay?
Yeah, well, we're out here listening. KD6LEN.
Bill, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wake you up. That's okay. Hey. All right, glad to have you with us out there, Bill. And there you go, you're picking on them fish out here today, so anyway, poor fish. All right, don't know if she's out there. I know she's been pretty busy down at the Performing Arts Center. How about WA6DLB, Donna? Okay, nothing heard out there. How about KJ6QYN, Shelley? Okay, nothing heard out there from Shelley this evening. And let's see, moving on down to the second page here. I got AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom and the net. Victor Santa Fe Springs.
Well, good evening there, Victor. Hopefully, well, I know it's warmer down there, and hopefully we all come out of this next storm with no big amount of problems, okay. I think we're really going to get hammered up north, though. All right, next I have KA6ROD, Rod.
Good evening, everyone, and congratulations, Dave, KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod, glad to hear you out there, and thanks for joining us this evening, and yeah, we're proud of Dave. Remember when we gave him his tech, remember when we gave him his general, and now he's an extra. And by the way, he's also a VE extra class, so dedicated to help us out. Appreciate that. Let's see, next I have is W6JET, Rob.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, W6JET.
Okay, good evening, Rob. Are you in Temple City or are you up here?
I'm in Temple City.
Well, you got a great signal and another repeater. Sounding good this evening. Let's give a call out for KJ6RAY, Ray.
Good evening, Tom. KJ6RAY Mobile.
Well, good evening there, Ray, and thanks for joining us mobile. Appreciate that. Glad to hear you out there. All right, let's see, and I'm not sure I had Rick on here. Where is his call sign? I believe it was N7QRD, I believe. Hope I have that right. Rick, are you out there?
Good evening to everyone. Yes, it's November Quebec 7, Romeo Delta, here in Cerritos. I hope I'm making it in with 1 watt.
I'm sorry, NQ7RD. I'll get it right. anyway, all right. You know what? I wrote that down wrong. Shame on me there. Well, glad to hear you out there from Cerritos. No, you're solid in the repeater. Great signal. And thanks for joining us, Rick. Appreciate that. All right, that's kind of the list as I have it, and we're adding and adjusting this list all the time. Anybody else out there who would like to join in and check in this evening, please come back to KF6Q.
I'd like to check in, if possible. I've been listening. KK6ALB.
Okay, I have that as QOQO6, Alpha Lima Bravo. Is that correct?
That's correct. My name is David.
Well, good evening there, David. And whereabouts are you joining us from?
I'm currently in my car with a handheld in Walnut, California.
Oh, good deal. Well, David, you are coming in loud and clear here from Walnut. And, yeah, my brother lived in Walnut for years, and I was just over the hill in West Covina until I got out of high school anyway. So, good deal. Thanks for joining us. Anybody else out there would like to check in this evening, please come back. I think, well, that's perfectly fine. I think we got everybody checked in and wants to check in this evening. And anybody out there listening, any questions, any time with this topic tonight, feel free to jump on in there with a question. That's why we're here, to answer questions. All right. Well, let's see. First thing, as we usually do, before we get into our topic, Mike, hey, what's happening with our solar weather? Is our solar weather controls a lot of our propagation? How are we doing out there, and how has that been treating the HF bands?
Well, Tom, let's give the report first. Looks like we've got a sunspot number of a measly 81 and a solar flux index of 122. And that's where we'd like like to see. It's been kind of a mediocre sunspot cycle, even though we did have some really good times a few weeks ago. Anyway, looks like we've got some activity peaking up, and we've got some flares that have gone off, but nothing that's really doing anything great for us. Bands are mediocre. Bands are, there's DX out there. I haven't had time to play with it, but not where we would like to be at this time in the solar cycle. I sound like a broken record. Hey, back over to you, Tom.
Okay, good deal. And you know what? Apologies there. I think I missed somebody here in the check-in. I've got this sheet. I definitely have to reprint this. KI6IQA, Kelly, are you out there?
I am. I just didn't know if I missed me or you missed me or we missed me. KI6IQA.
By golly, you know what? And it's right there where the crease is in the sheet, and I've definitely got to reprint this. This is a tattered piece of paper. So, anyway, glad you could join us, Kelly. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate that. Anyway, with the DX stuff, out there, but there might be somebody else out there. Anything great out there in the DX, HF, and please come back to KO6Q. Okay, don't hear anybody jumping in there, and that's perfectly understandable with the conditions we have. Well, Mike, our topic for the evening, this is from QST Magazine, page 39 of the December issue. And if you anybody out there listening does not have a QST, well, by golly, you need to join the ARRL if you can. It's about $39 a year. If you need help with that, we can assist you with the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, get you all squared away, get started on that first year. And just email me, we'll let you know who to make the checks out to and get you all your paperwork squared away. So, not a problem. But this is a great article. Let's see, this is Mark Wilson, K1RO. And he's the QST technical editor, or it was reviewed by him. Let's see, got a lot, W1ZR. So a couple of good call signs. You can go to their websites and or emails, I'm sorry, and through the ARRL, you got more information. Well, Mike, I've just probably babbled enough here. Talk to me about this doggone radio.
Hey, Tom, I don't know if we want to get me started on this one. I have a timer. I've never timed out this repeater, but, you know, this could be the topic that gets it. I apologize in advance if that happens. Revolutionary. That's what I'm going to call this little radio, guys. I was fortunate enough to be in San Francisco on my birthday last year, and my ship came in. I've been waiting about 8 months for the radio. I got it when I was in San Francisco, used about 5 years of my credit card reward points, so that's where the shekels came for this radio, so it didn't hurt so bad. But really, price-wise, you're talking the kit's $8.99, and the radio itself is $9.99. That's the basic radio. We have filters. We have a 2-meter converter coming. We have a 100-watt amplifier in the works for it, first quarter of 2013 next year. Just a really neat radio. Size on this thing is remarkable. 3.5 inches tall, 7.4 inches long, and it's about 1.5 inches deep. So really kind of a tiny radio. And you mentioned that it was HF at 6 meters. Like I just said, we've got a 2-meter converter coming probably in the summer for the thing, which will make it, a totally for everyone type radio. It'll do 2 meters, and people that want to work their way up can use it for the HF. Let's see. Well, that kind of gets it started, Tom, and then we'll go through and go through the book here and get into some of the specifics, if I can only say that. Back to you, Tom.
And I have that problem sometimes myself. There it goes. My tangled gets tongued anyway, or something like that. Anyway, well, Mike, first impression, looking at this radio, and of course there's a picture of it in the magazine, and I guess you really got to see it in person. A lot of our newer mobiles have a detachable face, and the first thing you're going to say is, okay, that's the detachable face off of the real radio. But it's not. It's the whole radio. And this is just incredible. As the guy says, honey, I shrunk to K3. K3 being an excellent radio. Now, Mike, just real quick, real brief. K3, and this is the KX3, both from Elecraft. In a nutshell, describe the K3 for those out there who have no idea what that is.
The Elecraft K3 is a full-featured, basically a contest radio. Got very narrow filters, or can be supplied with very narrow filters. Does just about everything you want in a radio to do. It can decode Morse code. It can decode all of the digital modes. About 100 watts. It'll run 110 watts all day with no problem. But they rated it 100 watts. And probably one of your better quality radios out there on the market today. We're going to talk about where it is on the Sherwood list compared to the KX3 and such. Back to you, Tom.
Well, Sherwood. Oh, wait a minute. That's a list. Well, good deal. Yeah, and that is a great radio. You know, like I said, it's an excellent radio to use. Very high up. But what is this Sherwood list? Real quick. What does all that mean?
The Sherwood list is a list, they're a private organization that does performance tests on radio, amateur radio receivers. Basically, I don't have it in front of me. Oh, yeah, basically it is sorted by dynamic range, narrow space dynamic range, which I'm really not up on all of these qualifying things and that, but I'm working on it. But that's basically what it is. It's got just about any, well, all of the amateur radios and the receiver performance.
Well, fantastic. And so I know that this, the KX3 is that still undergoing more revisions, or they actually put that on somewhere in a list there too?
Actually, until mid-October, the KX3 was at the top of the list. Here I go again. At the top of the list, on the Sherwood list. But son of a gun, the Germans had to outdo us again. There you go, Harry. Well, now the Hilberling PT-8000 is just a hair above the KX3 on the receiver performance. The only problem with that little Hilberling is prices. It's just shy of $20,000. So I'm going to stick with my KX3.
Well, I can understand that. Yeah, that is pretty pricey. And anybody out there who's listening, if you're just getting into ham radio, maybe you just got your tech license and you're thinking about getting an HF license or HF radio and general class, moving up the ladder there, there are a lot of cheaper options. And always check back with us. Give me an email at KF6Q, that's Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec, KF6Q, at ARRDel.net. And through our Tech Tuesday group here in the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, we have quite a few people out there, used equipment, totally working equipment, great stuff, a very reduced price. And some of this stuff, of course, will be going up on eBay, but hey, you know what? You can get a really great deal out there, and some of this stuff has been had very cheap. So don't want to name any prices, because I don't want to commit to anything there with anybody who's got stuff out there for sale. But anyway, so moving on down to the next part of this article. Now, what comes with this guy, or what's in that tiny little box? My gosh, this thing is tiny. What's it do? From what I understand, it does an incredible amount of stuff. Let's start with the fact that it's a software-defined radio, and it's got direct conversion. Now, those are two terms that a lot of people don't even know what that means. Mike, you want to start with the software-defined radio. What does that mean?
Basically, on a software-defined radio, generally they are controlled by your computer. There's a couple of different ones out, and you have to have a computer to run the radio. On this particular one, it does not need a computer to operate. It'll do everything that needs to be done without a computer. There are some nice things you can do.
you can do with the computer. For instance, it'll decode teletype, RIDI, PSK31, and CW, and just give you like a one-liner, probably 10 or 12, or let's see, it's 14 characters ahead, but it disappears right away. If you hook it up to your computer and use that as a terminal, well, you can type on your computer, and it'll give you all the text that's sent, and keep it there so you can have it or print it out or whatever you need. And basically, it is it's a direct conversion, but it's what they call a quadrature. Hopefully, I've pronounced that right. And quadrature component receiver processing, and that will give you a single signal reception. Whereas it's got a zero IF, whereas some of the most of your other ham radios are super heterodyne, and they have different frequencies of IF. So we have a little bit different way we do things. They have computer programs, and they upgrade through firmware on this, and it's constantly being upgraded. So I'm one firmware upgrade behind on mine. Now I can plug it in, and then we got a lot more features than what I have now. So that I'm just kind of waiting to do that because I have a little issue with the the backlight on the display. So once I get that taken care of, I'm going to upload that, and then it'll be a better performing radio. They're constantly upgrading this radio. Back to you, Tom.
You know, that's the greatest thing about a software-defined radio is that essentially what they do is they get all the information they can out of the air from the antenna, and then they digitize this stuff, and then they process it digitally, and by using digital math, whatever, DSPs, as they call them, digital signal processors, and then this will take and basically handle the radio features from that point on. Well, that part's really nothing new. That's been going on for some time. However, now they've actually got a built-in computer, like you said. It's got firmware in there and a processor that essentially controls all of those things, and due to the fact that you can upgrade it, like you say, with upgrading that software in there, kind of like upgrading your computer, loading in a new operating system or whatever, you put that in there, and now that everything works with new features that they have designed and come up with since then. So basically, with that feature of the software-defined radio, working with the digital signal processing, too many anachronisms, but with all that together, lets the radio be upgraded. Don't you wish all our TVs and things were that way? You know, come out with a new feature, you just download the software. Oops, then you wouldn't have to buy the new TV, though. Anyway, Mike, pretty cool. Well, let's see. They have a lot of DSP features. The third column there. Let's start out with that.
One that I especially like is it has stereo. You can put stereo headphones on or stereo speakers. I use West Mountain Radio comm speakers, and basically you plug that in, and it amplifies the sound coming out of the radio. But it's got a button that you can push, and you can have what they call the DSP. Quality on it, and it will either give you like your speakers sound like they're stereo, or they sound like one big speaker. It's really kind of neat, and you can use that with either speakers, with earbuds, or with headphones, and it's really cool. It's kind of neat because you can do what they call a dual watch, and in one ear you can hear one frequency, in the other ear you can hear another frequency. Now they have to be about 15 kilohertz close enough to where they're no farther than 15 kilohertz apart. So it kind of limits you a little bit, but then you can go ahead and use that also for split operation, where you can toggle between the AVFO and the BVFO, and you can actually activate one or the other depending on what you're listening to. So say you've got a DX station who's listening up 10. You can hear who's calling him in one ear, and you can hear him in the other ear, so you can switch back and forth and know what's going on. That's very cool. The downside is this thing's only got a 1-inch speaker on it, which is really cool. But any of you that were at the meeting when I was trying to use it with the 1-inch speaker, it just doesn't cut the mustard. It's really neat, if you're in a quiet room. Doesn't work very well with mobile. You can run it through. Most of the newer cars have a little plug, and you can run it into the car speakers, and that works really well. Let's see. Well, back to you for a second, Tom.
And this is KO6Q here with Tech Tuesday and the group. Every Tuesday that we can, 1900 hours. Anyway, well, Mike, yeah, that's kind of, I know for some of us, that'd be like listening to two different frequencies, one in one ear and one in the other, kind of like watching two TV channels, one with the left eye, one with the right eye. I don't know. That could get complicated, but I guess it's something you would get used to. Anyway, but yeah, I see they always have a lot of jacks and things on this thing, so you can hook up extra speakers. So you solve that problem. But I think with all that, one-inch speaker, this is all about making this thing portable. And portability is the main thing. Now, Mike, didn't you take this thing out just recently as a pedestrian mobile? Let's hear about that a little bit.
Not only that, but that's why I wasn't attended in the BBARC field day. I had just got the thing a month prior, and we decided to take off and play with the radio. So I wasn't operating my normal 10-meter position, but had a ball. 10 meters wasn't open anyway very much, but we had a ball with the thing. We didn't work a lot, but we did get very good signal reports, and... yeah, really cool. Yeah, after the HFNet last weekend, I have kind of like a backpacker antenna. It's just a whip with a base-loaded kind of a tap-type antenna. It's got a little wire that you can tap the different bands. You just plug it in, and then it'll get the different frequencies. I happen to have the antenna tuner in this particular radio, so I get close to the frequency, I tap it, and it tunes it all up. After the net, we were walking around. This thing being the size that it is, you can hold it in a vertical position with the antenna on the top and have your little microphone on the bottom. And we were working 75-meter pedestrian mobile, talking to, I think, Tom, you heard me, and some of the other guys, probably, oh gosh, maybe 5 miles out. But in that configuration where I'm running the onboard batteries, I'm only running probably 3 to 5 watts, so not a lot of power. And on 75 with an inadequate antenna like that, pretty impressive. Back to you, Tom.
Well, yeah, I think it's very impressive. I think 75 meter mobile anything is probably the most difficult, even with a vehicle. It tends to be a very huge loading coil, you know, and even then a very big antenna. So doing that pedestrian mobile, pretty awesome. Pretty neat just to get that feature going, and I'm sure that you could probably play around with different antennas and things and maybe even get something going there. You can't get too big of an antenna or it'd tip you over while you're walking. that would not be good. Well, anyway, I see there's a slew of specifications here on page 40 and 41. I think a lot of good information here. And it's what does this thing not have is the hard part. Got a lot of different things here, especially if you're working CW. What does this come with for CW? I hear it's got some pretty neat stuff there too.
Yeah, it's got a built-in keyer, which is autumn speed is about 8 words a minute, and top speed is way faster than I can send. Probably 40 words a minute, maybe 50, but I can't even touch that. But the cool thing is, it has got a built-in paddle, and it's not a Bengali, it's not a Vibraplex, but man, I'll tell you, it's right in there. They've just sent me a mod kit for that, and I went through and changed the springs on it, changed the contacts on it, had brass contacts. We changed that to stainless steel contacts and rounded off the other point of the contact. And I'll tell you, the thing
works pretty good. I can send at about 25 words a minute comfortably with a little paddle, and believe it or not, it actually sounds pretty good. Back to you, Tom.
Well, that's incredible, and just for some of our newer listeners out there, or people newer to the hobby, a little bit here, of course, back in 2008, the last of the restrictions were lifted for CW to get your license. However, there's a lot of people out there that's just, now that you don't have to have it, they want it. And it's a big trend going across the country, and has been for some years, actually the last 4 years. More people now want to do CW, and it does punch through all the noise out there. But a little Morse code key, especially if you've ever seen an old Western and they have to go to the telegraph office to send that important telegraph off to Washington, D.C., or wherever it's going. Anyway, but what Mike's talking about here with the paddle, a long time back, basically they felt, okay, well, we can move this thing contact left, contact right, move it a little sideways, and then let it actually send the dots in one side or the dashes on the other side. And with that, you get perfect dots and dashes. Otherwise, with the Morse code key, you're kind of, you know, what they call a straight key. You're out there and you're trying to do the dots and dashes so they're not the same size, or you don't know what's what. But anyway, yeah, so that's what a paddle is. And of course, it has to have the electronics to generate that nice, clean, crisp dot or dash. Mike, you want to demonstrate what happens if you flip it on one side? You'll hear just one straight dot, 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 and then dash, 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 dash. You want to give us a demonstration? KF6Q.
No, I'd love to, Tom. Okay, well, here's the dots, and I use my thumb for the dots. And this is about 20 words a minute. And here's the dashes. And then here's my call. And too many dots. But and the thing is really kind of cool because it will decode it too. So if you're just learning the code and you know, you're not really sure of yourself, you don't want to kind of commit and do a QSO or something like that, it will decode the code for you, and it'll just either scroll across the screen, or if you have it hooked up to your computer, like I said before, it'll give you all the text and tell you to delete it off the screen. So very cool in that regard. It's an excellent way to learn CW. You know, I can send a lot faster than I can receive, and if I get in a QSO with somebody that's sending a little too fast, I'll use it to kind of look down. If they're more than about 20 words a minute, I look down, and I'm not as sure as myself as I should be, so I look down and see exactly what they're saying and make sure that I'm not getting it wrong. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal there, Mike. You know, and just for a lot of other people out there listening in, a lot of the radios for some time, having all the DSP stuff in there and some interface, what we call a CAT, and computer-aided something, technology or whatever it is anyway, or transceiver, whatever. I'm sure Mike will correct me here in a second on that. But anyway, CAT, call a CAT interface. And what it is, it'll be a plug-in jack on the back of a radio. Don't normally see this on an HT, but you will see it on mobile radios. Some of the more recent ones, and I say more recent, the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years, maybe even further back. And what this cable will usually plug in to a computer or a laptop. With that, there is a lot of free software. I think Ham Radio Deluxe is probably one of the best out there. In my opinion, because it's free and it does a million things. Free meaning it is free to use. You want to donate to them, I'm sure they would accept that. But anyway, with that, and Mike, I think Ham Radio Deluxe, HRD, does have a decoder. So here again, too, if you didn't have this radio, you can also use another radio and do what Mike was saying. Helps you to learn code if you're out there trying to learn it. But it does make it too easy to cheat, doesn't it, Mike? Back to you.
Oh, I'll never tell. Yeah, no, I seldom do it. Most of the time I do it in my head, seldom I cheat, but yeah, it sure makes it easy. It's very easy to look down there and say, oh yeah, this is the way to do it. Yeah, it's a sound card interface, I think, Tom, is what what you're talking about. And this is built in, does not need one. You can plug it into your computer, hook up Ham Radio Deluxe, and go to town. Ellicroft has their own software, too, that we could use with that. And I should add, everything is always free at Ellicroft. Upgrades are free. Software is free. They get you on accessories, though. There's some prices here down at the bottom of the page here. Really, right now, the only accessories is the filter, kind of a narrow filter for CW, a pass band, dual pass band roofing filter, they call it. There's an internal antenna tuner. I have both of those features. There's a battery charger that also includes a clock and a timer, and you can set the amount of time on your batteries when they charge. Not unlike anybody that has a Yaesu FT817, kind of similar to that. A little more advanced, though. You have a little bit more you can control as far as parameters. Let's see. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal. And one thing I should mention here about Ellicroft and many of their products, if not all, are available as a kit or completely assembled. Now, I use kit with a little bit of reservation here. They have the KX3 as a kit, but it is a no-solder kit. It's mechanical assembly only, so basically all the electronics are already put together for you. All the components is basically the screws and nuts and bolts, and plugging tab A into slot B, basically, and then you're going to put this together. And you will actually save about $100 off the price of that radio, buying it that way. And I think the K3 itself comes that way. So it's an option if you are mechanically inclined. And some of the other kits, I think there is a little bit of soldering involved, so but you can save money and put the stuff together. It's all there. Of course, if you get it all assembled, it's completely tested and running off the shelf. So either way, so very good option they have. Not too many companies out there have that option. That's Ellicroft, E-L-E, craft, actually, all one word, E-L-E-C-R-A-F-T. You can Google them up and see what they got. Anyway, Mike, pretty cool, pretty good. Anything else you'd like to add about this radio?
Sure, I'll remember it after Tech Tuesday's over. Yeah, and another thing, Tom, it is very small. It's surface mount technology. That's why it's no soldering kit. But when you get in there, they have got this radio packed, really packed. I installed the battery charger when it came a few weeks ago, and you have to use anti-static mat. You have to use anti-static procedures. So it is very sensitive, but it seems like the older I get, the fatter my fingers get and the worse my eyes get. So it's kind of tough. I had a pair of really good glasses on, but really kind of tough. Also, information, they have a Yahoo group that you can sign up with if you're interested in learning more about this radio, or the Ellicroft Reflector, and a lot of information like day-to-day stuff, when the upgrades are coming. Wayne and Eric, the owners of the company, are available. I mean, you get on the Reflector, and if you have a question, and either put it towards them or just put it up there, a lot of times they'll come and they'll answer any questions and such. And I might add, customer service, second to none. I don't know of any amateur radio company, including Tentec, and I've had a few Tentecs in my time, which is one of the other American radio manufacturers. Just second to none. I mean, they will take care of you, and I mean that, really. It's not a joke. They take care of you. They really maintain these radios. They upgrade the radios, and they're up in the San Francisco Bay Area, up near Monterey, and built here in California with as many U.S. parts as you can get nowadays, but they're definitely built and assembled here in the USA. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday, and the group with WB6CLZ on the side there. Well, good deal there, Mike. Yeah, pretty neat. I know you were so excited. I know you've actually driven that distance when either you had an upgrade being taken care of or an issue. And I know that you've had maybe an issue or two and your ownership of that. However, it was all resolved. That is a really cool feature of having their own reflector where if you have something or have a problem, personal helpline, I guess you'd call it, and a lot of people out there, all these people basically either are involved with building them, fixing them, or using them, mostly using them. And with that, you know, great site and a great radio and company. So, well, anyway, pretty much covered this, I think. There's a little bit more in the article here, but I think we've covered most of it without getting too technical. Anybody out there with any questions involving Elecraft or the KX3 radio or software-defined radio itself and CAT, whatever that actually, I'm going to say what it is. It's CAT. Oh, they have bulldozers. No, wait, that's a different one. Okay. Anybody, please come back to KF6Q and the group.
86PL.
86PL, Harold, good evening. Yes, go ahead.
Little tip for you old geezers that are probably half my age and going blind. Years ago, working on guns, I bought an optimizer. It fits over your glasses if you wear prescription glasses. It's pretty bulletproof. It's a headset flip up visor. It comes down right just about the size of a pair of glasses. You can buy different magnification plates to go in it, and you can buy a 5 time a little magnifier that goes on a screw up in the corner, swing up and down over one eye, or you can put one on each eye. I bought mine from Brownell's Gunsmithing in Montezuma, Iowa, which whenever you need tools that are hard to find, that's a good place to go for them. They're first-class people, like he's talking about the treatment you get at Elecraft. You get that kind of treatment from Brownells. So that'd be a good help for you whenever you're doing kits or any other small intricate work. 86 field.
Oh, very good point there, Harold. And you know what? There's, you know, and that's one thing too. As we find, you know, like I say, it's sometimes hard to see the stuff. I'm going to say as a good example, if anybody ever saw the movie Back to the Future, the professor, I think he comes out in the very first movie and he's got some of those on, I think. Anyway, if you look at somebody with those, it makes their eyeballs look about 5 times bigger than they are. However, if you're on the other side of those, pretty cool. And to add to that, if you had a bench-mounted, well, there are usually 2 or 3 power, sometimes 10 power magnifying glass, it can also help, you know, in a lot of good places out there. But thanks, that's a good place to look for there, Harold. I appreciate that for picking this stuff up. And with a lot of these surface-mounted parts, even sometimes tweezers seem to be too big. So just to let everybody know out there, surface-mounted technology, the parts actually come in different physical sizes with still the same component values. So you don't have to have the tiniest or the tiniest. You can still do a SMT project. So anyway, anybody else out there, any comments or questions, please come back to KF6Q.
NQ7RD.
And Q7RD. Hey, go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I like playing with the small stuff also. I use one of those magnifying glass, like where jewelers use the visor type, and it has 3 different magnifications. The question on that radio, I believe it has an option. I could have missed it. I had a phone call, so I kind of had to step out for a few minutes. Option of do-it-yourself or pre-built. Was there a price difference? And about how long, if it is a do-it-yourself, did it take for assembly? I know based on your expertise and how good you solder and such, but is there a guesstimated time frame? And I'm just wondering. NQ7RD.
Okay, Rick, well, I'll go over that because that is a pretty cool feature. First off, it's a no-solder kit. All the soldering and components are already in place, and it's basically a bolt-together screws and bolts and nuts kit, you know, and putting the components as components together. And the thing is rather small to start with, so you would actually be physically assembling it, not so much electronic. And at that point, I'm going to say that somebody could probably do this in a day without any issues, probably a whole lot less. Looking at the picture here, you know, basically like the front panel, and you'll be bolting the different things together as they are and plugging things in where they have to plug in, and pretty clear. So not a lot of assembly there. However, they have knocked about $100 off the price. So you know what, if you have a little mechanical skill and ability and not afraid to tackle something like that, pretty cool, save yourself $100. Hopefully that answered your question, Rick.
Oh yeah, and you burst my bubble too. I was hoping it was going to be like a, you know, a Ziploc bag full of tiny little microscopic electronic components that you had to weed through and, you know, try to find out what was what and put pieces together like the old Heath kits, but, you know, sub-miniature. But no, I was kind of really expecting something that you do assemble the electronics portion, but you clear things up. I appreciate that, Tom. Thank you much. NQ7RD.
Oh, not a problem, Rick. You know what? Don't forget about Ramsey Electronics. Now, I don't think they have a radio like this that you can put together, but Ramsey has the bare bones solder them up stuff. So, and of course, they have a lot of kits. Cool thing about Ramsey, they have real simple things which are great for science projects for kids in high school or junior high, or you're somebody who's just starting out in electronics, or if you're basically a ham radio operator and not a ham radio builder or of any sorts, some of these Ramsey kits are a good little introduction to electronics. Pretty much you learn a little bit as you go, and pretty much that's, you know, there's from very, very simple to very, very complex, so you have a range of stuff there. So anyway, that's another thing there with kids. Anyway, anybody else out there, any questions or comments or suggestions here about DSP, this radio, all the cool stuff we've talked about tonight? Please come back to KF6Q.
YNW.
Ah, there's Chris from the Low Desert, K6YNW. Go ahead, Chris.
Yep. Whoever's put the kit out there, after doing it, would it be better to buy it? And if there's no answer to that, I'll assume the kit's okay to, you know, that reference. K6YNW.
Yeah, Mike, any comments on that? Go ahead.
I'm a member of the Elecraft Yahoo group, naturally, and they're saying 4 to 6 hours, and it seems like everybody gets through it. I'm just pressed for time all the time, so I did pay the $100 and get it assembled. But I haven't seen many issues regarding the kit. You know, everybody seems to get through it, and 4 to 6 hours is about what it takes. One thing I forgot, too, and I haven't seen it talked about lately, but the owner was talking about having a mic with a display on it, up and down display, your frequency control, to where you can put this thing in a backpack with an antenna sticking out and have everything you need right on your mic. If they ever make that come to fruition, that'd be cool, too. Back to you, Tom.
And you know what? I think that's all said and done with. If you've worked with anything a little bit before, that kit's probably going to be pretty much a piece of cake. But if you've never tackled anything like that, you could probably still do it. You know, just have to be a little careful and take your time. You know, it's basically dedicate a Saturday on doing that, and you'd probably be just fine. So anyway, well, good deal. And I think that's, you know, that's, you have to kind of make that choice. So if you don't feel comfortable with that stuff, spend the extra money, and then at least you know the thing will come all assembled and ready to go. So Anyway, well, Mike, as we're closing down Tech Tuesday for the evening, anything else to add about this radio before we close Tech Tuesday? Before I send it back to Mike, let's just make sure we have no more. Let's make sure there aren't any other questions out there. So one more time, please come back on questions or comments to KF6Q.
W6PO,
go ahead, Chip.
Those who had a hard time, like I did, and just simply trying to find the price of this thing, I was getting ready to ask that question. But in the article, at the very bottom of page 41, it gives that information. The kit is $900, and the assembled, is $1,000. And then they give the extra bells and whistles, roofing filters, an automatic tuner, and the iambic paddle, and so forth, and a microphone. So all of the extra amenities get listed there. But I just was wondering, well, what does this little wonderful thing run? And it looks like it's 1K assembled, and as a kit, it's 900. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, good point there, Chip. And you know what? Everybody out there, that is a lot of money, but you have to understand that this is probably state-of-the-art software-defined radio. Excellent and, just totally excellent. Excellent amount of technology into this. You say it's got a good 10 watts PEP output on most of the bands, meant for QRP, which is really fine. I think, Mike, you've worked QRP all over the world, by golly, and that's pretty cool on 10 watts, so improper, just throwing a wire out there. So, yeah, so that is a lot of money, and you know what? I wouldn't say this is not the beginner radio, but you know what? It could be your first radio. There are a lot of other radios out there with less features, of course, and they're going to have a smaller price tag on them, so... Anyway, however, I love to see when they bring this stuff out because that makes a lot of the other radios, they're going to be easier to buy now on eBay because they'll be cheaper. at least we think so. All right. Good point there, Chip. Anybody else? Any comments, questions, or suggestions about the stuff we've talked about tonight? Please come back. KO6Q.
NQ7RD again.
Yes, Rick. NQ7RD. Go ahead.
Good evening all once again. I just punched it up on the internet and I'm kind of looking at the homepage on it. So is this more like a desktop model? I have the Yaesu 817, which looks like a standard mobile radio where you set it on the desk and you look straight into it. This one looks like if you use it as a desktop, do you look down on it? Or is this pretty much a handheld unit and is it ergonomically friendly where you kind of like hold it in your hand and you can be, walking, trailing, or whatever, while you're, working it. Is that something possible, or is not? Is this something where you pretty much have to be stationary, just like the 817, but just different? You're looking down on it as opposed to looking straight into it. NQ7RD.
Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday in the group. Well, Rick, you know what? Mike owns one of these, and he's had it out, actually pedestrian mobile, and he's been out since field day this year using it. So I'm going to hand this off to Mike. Mike, looking at it, like I say, it looks like the detachable faceplate, and I've seen it in person, but it's I know it's more than that. Mike, you want to go ahead, and maybe you could handle that for Rick. How do you hang on to this thing, or do you shove it in your back pocket, or... I don't know if that would fit. So, anyway, I'm going to hand it over to Mike, WB6CLZ, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Hey, Tom, KF6Q and the group. This is WB6CLZ. Yeah, you both. you can either hold it in your hand, or it has little legs in the back that fold up, and it puts it at just the perfect viewing angle for desktop use, or use on a rock, or a log, or whatever you have, a picnic table. It gives you about a 30-degree angle, kind of, I'm looking at here, maybe 20, maybe 30-degree angle. So, yeah. It puts it in a position to where you can see the display pretty well from that. And
Yeah, Tom, as far as a beginner radio, yeah, it is a little pricey, but I think with the 100-watt amplifier, it's going to make it a little taller, a little deeper. But with the 100-watt amplifier, it would probably be a great starter radio, and even with the 10 watts, especially if you're a CW guy, I would think that for my price, the Kenwoods and the ASUS and such, I think I paid $750 or something for my 817. Not worth that now after this came out. Really not that pricey considering what you get. But aircraft does get you on the options. Not too pricey, but they add up. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, Rick, hopefully that adds some help. Back to you, Rick.
Yeah, I did. And also the external mic, is that necessary, or does it also say has a built-in mic like one of the Yaesu radios, like for the motorcycle, where you don't necessarily have to have the mic? Like if you were trailing, holding it in your hand, can you, say, push a button and there's a built-in microphone within the faceplate or something like that, as opposed to having to hold it with two hands, one with a microphone? And I was just wondering, I guess I got to read more into it. NQ7RD.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
A lot of guys are using just a basic, like a computer mic, and they have one that I think Radio Shack sells that plugs into the microphone jack and works quite well, and you can use it that way. I personally have the little MH2 mic that comes, or MH3 mic, rather, that comes with it, and I hold it in my left hand, and I hold the radio in my left hand and the mic in my right hand, and trail a little bit of wire behind me when I'm pedestrian. And mobile, and it works just fine like that. But the little inexpensive computer mic will work just fine on this.
So if you use a computer mic, do you have the PTT button on the faceplate?
Just a regular little transmitter button, and you can use your thumb to actuate that. And it's a toggle on, toggle off. You don't have to hold it.
Oh, thank you for that. I'll be looking into this. NQ7RD.
Okay, good deal. And thanks, Mike, for all that practical experience of owning one. Nothing like having one and using it. Well, good deal. Anybody else out there? Any other questions, comments, or suggestions? Please come back to KF6Q at Tech Tuesday and the group. All right, well, that might wrap it up this evening there, Mike, and good topic this evening. Always try to have something great out there and be able to answer all the questions. If anybody out there has any other further questions that may pop into your head after we've closed the net, feel free to reach either one of us here for a few minutes after the net, or you can email myself here at kf6q@arrl.net. That's the call sign Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec at ARRL, the good old Amateur Radio Relay League. And, that's a great organization there. ARRL.net, the .net. So, anyway, good deal. Mike, last comments before closing.
I've already got one question about the radio, and I'll answer that as soon as we get done here with Tech Tuesday. Basically about pricing and how do we connect the radio for the firmware upgrades. Basically, you plug it in. It's got a little microphone jack, a microphone plug, and a USB that plugs into your computer. And you can use the Wi-Fi on the computer any way you could get online. You go to the Elecraft site and you download the firmware. It's basically that simple. Back to you, Tom. Great topic, of course. Back to you.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of information. Like I said, it's a very big article. Like I said, it's very state-of-the-art, cool stuff. And actually, like I said, you know, it's very, I mean, $1,000 is $1,000, and then you're going to add a couple things to that. However, for what it does and all the different features, and the main thing, like you said there, Mike, just because it does what it does today doesn't mean it won't do more tomorrow if they'll have a software upgrade, now all of a sudden now your radio does more features. So that's pretty cool. So I like that feature in any kind of electronics. So, all right, good deal. Well, glad to have everybody out there listening this Tech Tuesday. Kind of ran long today, but that's okay. I know the owners of this repeater. Anyway, so appreciate everybody joining us in out there this evening. Always love all the questions, comments, or anything out there. That's what it's all about. We're here to kind of discuss some cool stuff and then see if we can get some questions answered on it. So appreciate everybody out there listening, and try to join us again every Tuesday if you can. And we'll be out here every Tuesday we can at 7 o'clock, 1900 hours, on the K6BB repeater. So it'll be QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. We'll be closing the net this evening at 2000 hours and 5 minutes. Thanks again for everybody for participating and listening and being with us just about all the time out here. We got a couple of regulars that are always out there. Thank you very much for that. I hope you had all had a good Thanksgiving, and we'll see you a week from now. Returning the repeater back to normal use, this is KF6Q. We'll hang out for a bit.